This is Paul Brazier. It is July 12, 2018. I am here with Jack Doherty, a competitive cyclist. We're doing an oral history from Madison Historical, the online cyclopedia digital archive of Madison County. We're going to talk about being a competitive cyclist in the Metro East area. Hi Jack, how are you doing today?
I got not too much to complain about. I guess I'm doing pretty good.
Nice. First thing I guess we're going to talk about, the greatest bike race in the world's going on right now, the Tour de France. You've been following it?
I've been following it, not super closely, but I am following it.
Good. Who would you like to see win this year?
You know, I don't have any particular favorites. I would like to see someone from France win. But I don't have any particular favorites at all. I am opposed to a few riders, but I don't have any specific favorites. I just enjoy watching the race unfold.
Nice. That was going to lead me right into my next question. I said, is there anybody that you would like to see maybe not do so well this year?
Yeah, I would like to see Chris Froome fail. I would like, he's, I suspect, I'm not a fan of Chris Froome. I'm not a fan of his style of racing. I'm not a fan of the recent allegations of pharmaceutical misuse on his behalf. I think racers who race like him make the sport boring.
Nice. All right. Now back to you. How did you get interested in competitive cycling?
That's kind of a hard question to answer because I've been doing it so long. I almost can't remember a time when I wasn't doing it. I would think probably the time I became aware of competitive cycling was when my parents took me to see the movie Breaking Away back in the 70s. And for some reason, the footage of the bike races and the story of bike racing was really captivating for me. And it was something I wanted to become more interested in. Of course, living in Edwardsville in the 70s, there was not a whole lot of options to explore bike racing.
Great. And you talked about the 70s. How old would you have been then?
I think that I probably saw Breaking Away when I was 11 years old, when I became really kind of interested in road bikes, road racing. At that time, all of my friends had BMX bikes, and I was always the one kid on the 10-speed with the curvy bars.
Right. What types of racing have you done?
So, in terms of just bicycle racing, I think I've done everything that you can do. I've done road racing. Road racing involves a lot of sub-disciplines. That's criteriums, that's road races, that is time trials. Road races are more accurately described as longer over the road races. They usually are point-to-point, or they can have long circuits, 5 to 10, sometimes even 20 miles in length. Criteriums, which are also a type of road race, are usually closed circuit. The mileage, the course is usually a mile or less, involving a lot of turns. It's usually in a urban area. It's usually a higher speed and dicier affair. Time trials are not pack races, and by not pack races, I mean that it's individuals riding by themselves, trying to cover a set course in the fastest amount of time.
Great.
But that's the road racing. I've done a lot of track racing. Track racing takes place on what's called a velodrome. People will not recognize that word necessarily, but a velodrome is a banked oval. Of bike racing events. In the past, it used to be Olympic events. That would be the one event that would get TV coverage. The track racing involves bicycles that don't have brakes, and you have only one gear on a drivetrain that is direct drive, which means that if your rear wheel is rolling, your pedals are moving too. You cannot coast on a track bike.
Those are a lot of fun to ride. Those have kind of come into vogue in the last few years with what they talk about the hipsters. They've kind of taken that track bike setup and used that.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that. The fixed gears are fun to ride, but if you don't know what you're doing, you can get hurt. And they are harder to control and they are harder to stop. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're not just a danger to yourself, you're a danger to others. So I have very mixed feelings about the fixed gear development amongst people that maybe don't really know what they're doing. The other bike racing I've done is done mountain biking. I think almost everybody is familiar with mountain biking. Mountain biking really has become kind of a misnomer because most mountain biking does not take place on a mountain. Mountain biking is really, I would say, it's more all-terrain cycling. Those are bikes usually with fatter tires, knobby tires, and those are races and rides that take place on wooded trails, on the grass, typically not paved. The other racing I've done is cyclocross, which is a precursor, really, to mountain biking. Cyclocross is also done off-road, but it's also done a little bit on pavement. Cyclocross is basically an off-road criterium. The bikes are set up like road bikes. They have the curvy handlebars and they got the skinny tires, but you race over short courses with obstacles. The obstacles are set up so that you have to dismount and carry the bike over them. So cyclocross is kind of a mixture of cycling and running. And I've done those.
Nice. What was your first competitive race you took place in, and where did that happen?
So the first competitive race that I remember was in Bloomington, Illinois. I was in college, and it was a citizens category. And citizens category meant you didn't have a license. Lined up for the race. Back then, we didn't have clip-in pedals. We used toe clips with leather straps, and I'm not even sure if the hard shell helmet rule was in effect yet. What I remember mostly about that race is I was so amped up and so nervous at the beginning of the race, I fell over at the starting line because I couldn't get into my pedals.
That's funny. I think that's happened to pretty much all of us that's ever used any type of clips or any even the clipless pedals. You're talking about your earlier days of racing and such. Did you have any mentors in those early days?
So the main mentors I had, a lot of them were in Normal, Illinois, in Bloomington, Illinois. There's a gentleman named Mike Osment, who was a surgeon in Bloomington Normal at the time. He was very nice to me and taught me a lot. Tommy Tompkins, another guy that was there. Another gentleman named Phil Menard. And the person that made most of it possible was a gentleman named Chris Coos, who owned a bike shop in Normal, Illinois called Vitesse Bicycle Shop. Chris is now the mayor of Normal.
Nice. And that was back in in the 80s when you were doing that?
This would be in the 80s.
Okay. And so you'll talk a little bit about how training was back then when you were training to race.
So training then, you just rode your bike. You know, there was a new training technique called intervals. Intervals are very commonplace now, but not everyone did it then. A lot of training was just going as long as you could for as hard as you could, whereas intervals is doing very hard efforts for more measured amounts of times. But most of the training back when I started was just riding your bike.
Nice. And as we talk about your racing career, can you elaborate on some of the highlights of your career? Any accolades that you've received or awards or anything that really stands out that was a big accomplishment during the time that you were racing?
I've won a few races. That was fun. I got invited to the Olympic trials in 1995 on the track. That was probably one of the bigger milestones. But in terms of ongoing accolades, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I was a pretty good racer, but I never was a professional. I never went to the Olympics. I just raced a lot.
Nice. Can you talk a little bit about the time that you did go to the Olympic trials?
The Olympic trials was an exciting time. It was in Indianapolis. Kind of a big deal to get invited. You had to be a Category 1 racer. And at that time, there weren't very many Category 1 racers. I was a Category 1 at the time. I still am, actually, which is kind of remarkable. The time I was training, I was actually also in my first year of my law practice. I was a prosecutor at the time. So I was splitting time between training and being a lawyer. Went out to the Olympic trials hoping to do well. And I did well relative to my past performances. I had some very good races. But I was racing against the very best cyclists in a very big country, and I got my butt whooped. So it was a good experience, and it put my relative abilities in perspective.
Can you tell us about any of the racers that you were raced against that went on and raced at the Olympics, and if they had any success when they went?
Sure. Robbie Ventura was there. He was a well-known professional for quite a while. Fred Rodriguez was there. He raced professionally in Europe. Kevin Livingston, I believe, raced in some of the races. He raced professionally in Europe. Mike McCarthy was there. He ended up racing professionally in Europe, and he was also the professional pursuit champion on the track eventually. He was a world champion. Kent Bostick was there. Kent Bostick was a perennial national champion and longtime pro. I'm trying to think of who else was there. It was a large number of very, very heavy hitters, and they heavy hit upside my head.
Well, at least you got that experience under your belt, and that has to be something that you'll remember for the rest of your life for sure. Okay, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about some of your local racing. I know you talked about starting out, you were in Bloomington Normal area, Springfield area. Some of the races that you've done in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Well, for a long period of time, if there was a race, I did it. I mean, there have been different races all over St. Louis metropolitan area in almost every neighborhood and almost every community. Of course, Edwardsville has a race. Belleville has had races. Lebanon has had races. Alton has had races. Godfrey has had races. All over St. Louis, Kirkwood, the city's Lafayette Square. It's almost impossible for me to list all of them, but for a period of a couple of decades, if there was a race in the St. Louis area, I almost certainly did it.
Nice. You'd mentioned Edwardsville, and the last few years, Edwardsville Rotary has sponsored a day of racing here in the city. Describe the difference between a regular road race and the type of race that they put on here in Edwardsville, the Criterium.
So the Edwardsville Criterium is, as I described previously, the Criterium is a relatively short course race with a lot of turns. The Edwardsville Criterium in particular has a lot of turns. The course has a reputation regionally as being a very, very technical course. It puts a premium on bike handling and fitness. That's what I have to say about the Edwardsville Criterium and the Edwardsville course. The Edwardsville Criterium generally, I'm very glad that we have it. There's a bittersweet aspect to that race because I very much wish that race was happening when I was a younger man and I could make a better showing for myself in the races.
I think you and me both. I had done that race myself, and it is very, very taxing physically and also with your bike handling skills. Do you have any plans on racing this year in the Criterium?
No. No, I won't be racing this year. I'm putting most of my energy into my law practice. And Criterium racing comes with it a certain amount of risk and risks of crashing. And at this point, I am not willing to take the risks of crashing.
Got it. Okay, so going to kind of backtrack here a little bit. You were you talked a lot about track racing and such. And I saw a post on the internet not too long ago about the Velodrome in St. Louis, and they're looking at reopening it possibly this fall. What kind of information do you have on that, and any of the history or anything that you'd like to share about that particular velodrome?
So the Penrose Park Velodrome has been around since, I think, the early 60s, late 50s. It was actually built by the German and Polish folks that were living in the Penrose neighborhood at the time. And it was built to replace a velodrome that was in Forest Park. The Forest Park lost the velodrome when they built the I-64 highway through the middle of it. So they were without a velodrome, and the velodrome was moved to Penrose Park. It's a bit of a misnomer to say that they're reopening it, because they've actually been racing on Penrose Park for the last several years, and I've been racing there occasionally myself. What they're doing now is they're resurfacing it. For the last 30 years that I've been riding on the Penrose Velodrome, it's been barely rideable. It's been in very bad condition. It was not a velodrome that was suitable to host big regional races because the surface was so uneven, it was so cracked, and it was so in such disrepair. We raced on it, but it was kind of unpleasant. So what's happening now is they are tearing it down bare bones. They are putting a new surface on it. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be rideable. The only real downfall is it's going to be 1/5 of a mile, which is an English measurement. All modern velodromes use the metric system, which is going to most likely make this velodrome really an unlikely candidate to ever host national or state championship races. But it's still going to be nice to have a nice smooth surface to train and race on locally.
Sounds like it's going to be a really nice facility. It's too bad that the distance is going to make it not necessarily a national destination. What direction do you see local cycling racing taking the next 5 years or so?
So that's really hard to say. There aren't a lot of young people getting involved in bike racing. I think that if you looked at the United States, the organizing group is called USAC, and I think if you looked at the USAC's membership, you would see a bulk of the racing membership is probably over 30, and that does not really bode well for the growth of the sport. The growth of the sport in this region, I don't really know. For bike racing. Bike riding, that's a different thing, but bike racing, because of the expense to get involved in it, racing bikes are not cheap. I think that there is a precious few number of parents that are willing to make that kind of investment in equipment. The expense of just the bicycle dwarfs that of hockey and baseball, and I think that really makes it somewhat of a non-starter for young people, and I think that's too bad.
And kind of on a personal note for yourself, where do you see your cycling in the next 5 to 10 years? What things that you're going to be doing or trying anything new or anything?
You know, cycling for me in the future is going to be riding for fun. I might do some, with the track being redeveloped, I might take up training more on the track, and I might do some racing on the track. I don't see myself spending a whole lot of time doing any road racing or criterium racing in my future. I'm 50 years old. I got nothing really to prove, and I don't really have the time or the energy to devote myself exclusively to bike racing. You know, bike racing is a fun thing to do. It is, if it's not paying your bills, it's not really a practical thing to devote all of your energy to. I know plenty of people that do, but that's just crazy to me.
Okay. And you talked a little bit about the direction of cycling, and you can see that the cycling itself might not necessarily be declining, but the racing part is. Kind of go along with that, what are your thoughts on the MCT trails and Madison County Transit trails that are here in the area?
So the MCT trails are really a delightful use of public property and public easements. And they seem to have sparked a huge growth in the interest in cycling. Not racing necessarily, but there are certainly significantly more cyclists that I see on a daily basis than I ever saw before. And they're almost always on the bike trails. You know, because I like cycling and I like running and I like being outside, I tend to be on these bike trails. So I see a lot more cyclists. And it's, you know, people are riding what I would describe as performance bicycles. They're dressed up in their Lycra, given it an effort, but they clearly aren't racers. But they're certainly interested in fitness and some of the more healthful benefits of cycling.
Okay, I got one final question for you. Take a second to think about it. If there was one cyclist, it could be somebody current, can be somebody that raced or cycled in the past, that you would like to race against or train with, who would that be and why?
That's a tough one to answer because there's been so many characters that I've known, and I've read about over the years. I mean, I always liked Sean Kelly, the Irish cyclist that was so winning in the 80s, the early 90s. Of course, everyone likes Eddie Merckx. Eddie Merckx, probably the winningest cyclist of all time. He's not that interesting of a character to me. Beyond the fact that he was a winning cyclist and he built a very fine brand of bicycles himself. I think probably the person most interesting was a cyclist named Gino Bartali. He was an Italian cyclist and he raced during the time of World War II. And Gino Bartali collaborated and worked with liberating Jews that were trapped in Europe. It's a really a fascinating story. There's a book written about him. There's a movie about him. Gino Bartali was a winning cyclist. He won the Tour de France. He won the Tour of Italy. But he was also a spy, and he worked for the good guys during World War II, and that makes him an interesting character. If you spend time cycling, you want to ride with someone who's interesting. Sometimes riding with the meathead fitness people is not exactly interesting. So if I had to pick one cyclist that I could train with or ride with, it would be Gino Bartali.
That's a great choice. Okay, I would like to thank you, Jack, for taking your time today to talk with me about your cycling experiences. This has been Paul Brazier interviewing Jack Doherty about his bicycle racing experiences. For the Madison County Historical Online Encyclopedia Digital Archive of Madison County.